So as we step into this week, I want you to consider the subject of fear. The subject of fear is common to everyone. Fear can be one of the most damaging emotions. It can cause us to shut down, to step back from our purpose. How many of you know the fight or flight? How many of you are fight and how many of you are flight? Some people want to lean into it and they want to swing at the world, and some people want to get out of Dodge. They want to leave here. And fear can cause real physical responses. Fear can trigger responses that seem and feel super real. In fact, it can accelerate your heart rate. It can cause heart attacks. It can, the breathing can go up. So fear has an actual impact on your physical body. It can cripple our confidence and willingness to try, to love, to risk. You know, it doesn't matter what your phobia is, if it's fear of crowds or fear of heights or fear of spiders, whatever it might be, it could just be fear of failure. It could be fear of just about anything. And the definition of fear itself in the dictionary is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Now, one of the most common words that modern society talks about is a fear word. And I think it's the word anxiety. How many have heard the word anxiety before? Anxiety is not a good thing. In fact, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strengths. Even successful individuals can battle fear. What if I lose what I've gained? What if I lose my health? What if we lose our finances? What if we lose the relationships that we've earned? What if I can't keep going? I've got to this point. What if I can't keep this going? What if someone is better than me? What if somebody is out there that can beat my business? What if my kids walk away from what I've taught them? And I want you to know this, behind every fear is a what if. What if, and it's about the future, and it's a concern about tomorrow. It's a what if hidden within it. And fear can make us insecure when we're in that situation, when we're in that state of mind. When we're insecure, we're not the best version of who we could be. Let's be honest. Sometimes insecure people can become controlling people. We're worried that our kids are going to get controlled by the world or influenced by the world, so we overreact and over-control. I'm not saying you don't have a responsibility, parents, to take care of your kids. You do. But there is a tension to manage in this, that if we're in a place of insecurity, when it's about us, there's a problem. When we start acting it out on other people because it's about us, there's a problem. What if something bad happens? And then sometimes our only answer to people's questions is no, because we're so consumed with fear. So what does the Bible have to say about fear? Fear not, is used 359 times in the English Standard Version Bible. You'll see in other versions the phrase, do not fear. I love what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power and love and self-discipline. Can I get an amen to that? God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. What does that mean? Well, what it means is it has an impact on an individual. If fear is on you, timidity takes over you. So timidity has an ability to cut you off from being who you think you could be or should be. You might act one way if you are in your confident part of your mindset, but when fear comes in, it kind of sucks the confidence out, and you don't go as hard into that next moment because of that fear. It's timidity. But instead of that, the Bible says that God can offer you an alternative, something better than your fear. He can offer you power, love, and self-discipline. How many want that exchange? And that's what this series is all about. We're living courageously in a fear-filled world. Doesn't mean that you can't have a fear. In fact, I love what Dr. Cloud, Henry Cloud says. He says, having fear is normal. You can have fears without being fearful. Fearful is when you let your fears make your decisions for you. Being fearful is dysfunctional. We don't want those fears to take us over. In fact, we don't want to just fear a little bit less at the end of the series. We want to become fearless, courageously facing our fears God's way, moving from what if to even if. I love what Daniel chapter 3 gives the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many have read that story before? If you haven't, it's a great one to read. Where together they deny the king Nebuchadnezzar's law requiring people to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's statue and recognize him as divine. They said, we won't do it. We're not going to do it. In verse 17 of chapter 3 of Daniel, it says, our God is able to save us. They're convinced of that. But then secondly, they say, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. So how can we move from what if and the fear controlling us and making us bow to a place of even if, no, I'm going to do the right thing and fear is not going to control my decisions. I want you to look at the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14, because we're going to look at how Jesus handles fear in his followers. He has a very specific way that he walks through it, and I love this particular story because it illustrates how Jesus can work with you in your fears. In Matthew 14, 22, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples go back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. And while he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went into the hills by himself to pray. And night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Now, I have a boat on the platform today. The boat that the disciples were in was much larger. This particular boat actually is my son Josiah's. So thank you, Josiah. Shout out to Josiah. And they were in a boat. Now, I want you to consider they were in legit trouble. Think about this. Fear is not a denial of the facts. There is a real life struggle that we go through. How many know the struggle is real sometimes? Turn to the person next to you, tell them struggle's real. Now, in Israel, there's this phenomenon with this big lake. A year ago, Jody and I went to Israel and we went on this lake, Galilee. Later on, some people called it the Sea of Galilee. It's not quite a sea, especially when you're from Minnesota, you know that it's not that big. But it's a big, big lake, okay? And Jesus had sent his disciples away from him, and he said, go to the other side, go get in the boat. So they're in the boat. Now, I want you to consider, when the storm comes in, and we were there while we were there, we were in a town, and while we were in the town, wind blew up off the lake, and it came down through the mountains, and there's these channels of wind that were super strong. And you can go from one instant having no wind, seeing everything clearly, to seeing nothing at all. And so it is a powerful experience. Now, I want you to consider, they were in the boat because Jesus told them to get in the boat. And in this moment, they're in fear because Jesus put them in the boat. How many sometimes you're like, what are you doing to me, God? That's a real challenge, right? Now, sometimes he sends us into the moment we're in. Sometimes our own actions lead us into a storm. Sometimes other people do it to us. And sometimes we just don't know why. A lot of times we want to point the finger at somebody, and I would like to encourage you not to point the finger at why you're in the middle of a storm. That's not a good way to overcome your fears. But in this moment, Jesus is not in the boat. Okay, you sent us out here, you're not in the boat, and they're scared. I love the Bible because it just shows real, factual, legit circumstances where they were afraid, you would probably be afraid too. And as they're in this boat, I want you to know they're in fear and they don't know where Jesus is. And that's just what fear is. Fear is facing the future without God. That's what it is. You're alone in the boat and you're thinking about the next moment and you're worried, and it's facing the future without God. Verse 25, it says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost!" How many of you know that's what happens when you're irrational and it's the middle of the night and you haven't slept? It's hard to really understand what's going on in that moment. Now, this is where I want to give you four things today, how Jesus handles fear in his followers. I want you to see what happens next. Before this moment, Jesus isn't anywhere near, and they're in fear. But how does Jesus handle fear in his followers? The first thing is this: Jesus walks toward you in your fear. He comes toward you in your fear. He doesn't wait for you to get over your fear. He comes to you in your fear. Jesus is not afraid of your fear. He's not put off by your overreactions to fear. He comes towards you in fear. Now, they misread the situation, and they think that Jesus is a ghost. And sometimes we don't recognize God. Sometimes we don't see him in the middle of the moment, just like the disciples. And when we are in fear, our perception can be distorted. There's a story of Jody and I in our first year of marriage. And we had gone back to Michigan where my family was living at the time. And they had had a wedding reception for us out there because we were married in Minnesota. So we went back to the Michigan side and we went and it was fun and everything else. And we didn't get a whole lot of sleep. In fact, for a couple days, I didn't get any sleep. And we drive all the way back to Minnesota. While we were gone, there was a rainstorm. We were living in a third floor apartment building. And the rain leaked into our apartment room. And it gets into our room. And it was so bad, it warped the floorboards. And literally, you could see it moving like this in our bedroom. And we had the people come in and look at it. And they're like, "We don't know if it's safe for you to stay in this room. We're gonna come and fix it in a couple days." So we had to sleep in the living room. And we go into the living room and we're sleeping, and in the middle of the night, I'm tired out, things are distorted, and I had a dream. And in the dream, the floor was moving. And there were, I don't know if there were snakes or demons or whatever, but they were coming at me. And now I was not awake fully. How many of you have ever sleptwalked? Well, for me, I was sleep dreaming, okay? And I jump off the floor and I started yelling, "No, no, 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 no." And I run into our kitchen is extended to our living room, and I jump up on a kitchen chair and I start jumping up and down. Now, Jody and I have been married for about 2 or 3 months. She wakes up and goes, "What is going on?" She doesn't know what to do. This big protector, her husband, is scared to death or screaming or something on a chair. She runs over to me And she wraps her arms around me. She starts jumping up and down because she's scared too. I mean, that's what happens sometimes. When one person's afraid, it kind of dominoes into another person. And then finally, I woke up and I was so embarrassed. It took me about 8 years to tell that story. Sometimes we don't, we're in kind of crazy land. We overreact. Life is distorted. We see it wrong. And we're afraid. And this is when you need to remember, Jesus walks toward you in your fear. He comes toward you even when you're embarrassed. He loves you enough to come toward you in the storm. How Jesus handles fear in his followers, number one was Jesus walks toward you in your fear. And number two is Jesus speaks to us in our place of fear. He doesn't wait for us to come to church on Sunday morning. In the boat. He comes to us in our place of fear. There are some of you that are worried about losing your marriage or something's going on with your kids and you can't quite reach them and they're teenagers or young adults. And you're wondering what's going on. I want you to know Jesus comes to you in your home. He comes to you in the place where you are afraid. He knows you and he cares about you. This is when you need to understand, not only does he come towards you, but he speaks to you. What does it say in verse 27? Look at it. It says, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's here. This is what I want you to hear, because this is really important. When Jesus speaks, I am here, in the Greek, it's actually the I am is here. And wherever the I am is, we sang about him this morning, he is with us. He is all powerful. He's above the storms. He is stronger than time itself. He knows what's going on, and he speaks to you. He speaks to you. Listen right now. He's saying, I am here. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's strength in the face of fear. That's what it is. It's strength in the face of fear. So what is your place of fear? How do you feel when you're in it? Can you hear his voice say, don't be afraid, take courage, I am here. How Jesus handles fear in his followers. First, Jesus walks toward you in your fears. Second, Jesus speaks to us in our place of fear. And third, our courage gets bigger than fear when we look at Jesus. Our courage gets bigger than fear when we look at Jesus. Look at the next verse, verse 28. It says this, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Now this is pretty incredible. Now Peter does a lot of things. He's a big figure in the New Testament and the gospel stories. He makes grand claims about himself and his faithfulness, and he falls apart. He's also the one that declares Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, which was spirit prophetic speech. But in this moment, Peter is just one of the other disciples. I don't know why the other disciples didn't do what Peter did, but he steps up in the boat and he sees Jesus. And now he overcomes a very particular fear, the fear of failure. That fear we often carry with us. We don't just step out of a boat to walk on water. That's not something that is natural for us. Our first thought might be, I'm not gonna do it because I might fail. But because his eyes are on Jesus, Peter makes a claim. Hey, I see you doing something I've never seen anybody do. You're walking on water, so now I want to do the same thing as you. Did you know on the other side of your fear, there could be the miraculous? There could be something powerful in your life. And maybe it's not walking on water, but maybe it's overcoming an addiction. Maybe it's overcoming those things that hold you back. The great fear because somebody spoke something into you when you were younger and you don't believe in yourself, or you didn't have a father that believed in you, or you feel abandoned, or whatever those fears are. You need to know this: when your eyes are on Jesus, you have the ability to think past your past. You can begin to see a different possibility in your future. Vision can bring you to the point of risking failure. Most people just want Jesus to get in their boat. Peter wanted to step out of the boat. He went beyond just comfort into actual interaction with the Savior. I love. When I look at this story, how there is possibility of a different outcome when we look at Jesus. Believers are not ignorant of risk. They have clarity about who holds their future. There's a word for this, for some of you in this. You can come past your failures in the past. Disappointment doesn't have to keep you in the boat and stuck in a rut. With Jesus, our dreams must become bigger than our memories. With Jesus, say that with me, our dreams must become bigger than our memories. That's why we need to think something is beyond what I've only experienced. It goes beyond that. You can be a good father. You can be a good mother. Just because your parents were divorced doesn't mean you have to get divorced. You can move beyond the thresholds of your past. How Jesus handles fear in his followers. Number one, Jesus walks toward you in your fear. Number two, Jesus speaks to us in our place of fear. Number three, our courage gets bigger than fear when we look at Jesus. And number four, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Matthew 14, verse 30. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. And then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Now, this is a powerful story, not just of Peter, of course, but all the disciples. Jesus came towards them. He spoke to them in the middle of it. He calmed the storms eventually. The future did look different. But I want you to continue to keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter had this moment where he walked on water. And if you're going to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. You got to move past those fears. You're going to have to move beyond the threshold of what has held you back. And I don't know what each person here, what you have gone through and what holds you back. But if you're going to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. And then you'll walk on water. You'll have the experience of Jesus. But then all of us also have real life. We can come into Sunday morning church and we can experience the presence of God, and in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. There's nothing like the presence of God. And we can walk out of this sanctuary and we can go in our cars and go home and begin to scroll on Twitter or scroll on Facebook or whatever platform you're on and see all kinds of bad news and alerts about things that cause you to fear. And in one moment, you can go from walking on water to sinking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They saw the wind and the waves, and Peter calls out, when you do sink, still look back at Jesus. Don't go on a downward spiral. If you fell off of the wagon last night, doesn't mean you need to keep going back to the bottle. Come on, somebody. You get back and look at Jesus. You're in the right place if you're listening to church today or you're in church today. When you do start sinking, you got to get your eyes back on Jesus. Jesus reaches out and he grabs him and he brings him back into the boat and the wind and the waves stop. Keeping our eyes on Jesus will require telling him about our fear and then listening to his voice. Jesus, I'm sinking. Help me. You know, one of the things about confession in the Bible is I think sometimes we miss the beauty of regular confession. You know, in the popular world, confession means, yeah, I did it. And we don't want to admit things because there might be big consequences, right? Yeah, I ran the red light. Yeah, I went too fast. Yeah, I stole a cookie. Those are little things. Yeah, I went and looked at something I shouldn't look at online. That's a different thing. And sometimes when we hit our moments where we are sinking, yeah, I haven't been eating like I know I should, that my physical body, I'm not controlling it, it's controlling me. We can get into depression and negativity and try to stuff it inside. And the more we stuff our pain, our mistakes, our sins, the more we stuff it in, the more we sink. But when we open up and we just declare to God what's really going on, it's not new information to him. He's seen it all anyways. What it is an opportunity to say, Lord, help me. And he extends his hand and lifts us up. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I say, church, one of the things that will lift your faith and help you to keep risking and overcoming fear is confession. Confess where you've been, because then when the enemy whispers it back in your ear, you can say this, ha, shut up, devil. I've already talked to the Father about it, and he's forgiven me. You don't own me anymore. We need to take it even in our moments of anxiety. We need to confess to God what he already sees. I'm thankful for counselors. I'm thankful for people that come alongside and help us through trauma. I'm thankful for temporary times where there's good medications potentially that would help. But I think we are a far over-medicated country when it comes to this particular issue. Instead of talking to Jesus, we open the bottle and pour out some pills. Instead of talking to Jesus, we run to a different kind of bottle and drink it away. Instead of talking to Jesus, we try to escape with cannabis or whatever else it is. And then we defend whatever those things are. God still loves me. It's not really sin. It's natural. But if you are not overcoming your anxiety and you're not talking about it to God, all you need is more of that stuff to cover it up. And eventually it will get you. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? That's why in our anxiety, we talk to Jesus about it. Lord, I'm sinking. I don't know what to do about it. Philippians 4, 6, Paul says, don't worry about some things. What does it say? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Talk about it to God. He's not afraid of how dark things are in your head. He gets it. And he knows how to extend a hand to lift you up. And by the way, if you're battling some deep, dark depression, you lift your hand to God, but you need to talk to somebody about it too. Jesus sent his body, the body of Christ. You should not feel shame for what you're thinking and feeling in your head. Talk to somebody, a believer. Talk to somebody around. Don't just let it take you over. Suicide is a horrible thing. Many people battle it, but don't battle it alone. Talk to the Lord about it and come to the body of Christ and we'll come and fight with you. Amen. Don't let shame take you over. See, what if thinking is behind all our fears? Fears ask, what if? And we pull back. But those same fears can be opportunities to grow our faith, to turn what if thinking into God is thinking. I encourage you to talk to God about it today, to begin moving from what if to even if. How Jesus handles fear in his followers, number one, was Jesus walks toward you in your fear. Number two, Jesus speaks to us in our place of fear. Number three, our courage gets bigger than fear when we look at Jesus. And number four, keep your eyes on Jesus. Would you stand with me today, church? Hallelujah. One of the things that I have the honor of doing is praying for you. And it's an honor. And I've been around long enough. My wife told me not to say how old I am anymore. But I have been around long enough to see a lot of junk in the world. A lot of tough family situations, life experiences, addictions. I've seen the work of the enemy and Satan's work to go after the next generation and rob children so they rob their whole future. I've seen the pain of divorce and I've got people in our congregation that you got divorced in your memories, and I don't want that to stop you from your future. I don't want whatever the enemy has done to just wreck the rest of your life. I don't want your mistakes to cripple you with fear. You know what I dream of? I dream of you getting out of the boat. I dream of you taking a step across the line. I believe that Jesus will answer every person's voice that calls out to him. And first you need to know this, he comes walking to you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took the first step. He comes after you, and the very pain that you're in is an opportunity to talk to Jesus about it, and he can give you a hope and a future. Can I get an amen to that? It doesn't have to take you down for the rest of your life. So as we go into this series, one of the things that I know is that it is possible for you to have courage, to have a God-birthed faith, to tackle even the most difficult circumstances in your story. But you've got to confess. The word confess in the New Testament is two Greek words put together. The word homo, which means the same, and logeo, which means to speak. When we confess, we speak the same thing to God as what he already sees. We don't leave it stuffed inside. We open up to him. And something powerful happens because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He alone can come in and take out the sin and replace it with courage. And so as we go in, we're gonna sing in each of our locations in a moment. And our pastors in each location are gonna come up and they'll guide you through the end of the service as well. But I wanna just start this series challenging you not only to hear me preach about it, but talk about it in a group. Confess to God, but also have conversations. Let's overcome this thing together. Start a group. You're like, well, I'm going on spring break. I can't do a group for 4 weeks. You're not going on a 4-week spring break. Come on, that's a bad excuse. Nowadays, you can meet on Zoom. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter. FaceTime it. But we gotta do this thing together. And let's just do this right now. If you can, just put your hands out like you're opening up before God. Sometimes when we cross our arms, it's a sign that we're covering up. We open up our hands. It's an openness before God. I'm going to pray, and then our worship teams are going to lead us, and I encourage you to take and confess and talk to God about your fears. Father, we thank you today that you are faithful, that you are able. And Lord, we thank you that you, Lord, you're nearby. And no matter what state we're in of mind and heart, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you can help us overcome the most difficult of experiences and things. That our past does not have to define us. That those words that somebody else said to us a long time ago don't have to be a ceiling on our growth. But Lord, you have a greater word over our life. That when you died on the cross and rose from the dead, your word was spoken greater. It cancels sin, the curses spoken over us. The blood of Jesus is greater. And so, Lord, we drop our guard and we ask you to see into us. That's what true intimacy is, to see into me. And I pray, God, that you would move in our hearts and our lives as we move forward. Make us fearless in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We pray that you are encouraged and blessed by today's message. Check out emmanuelcc.org for faith resources, how to get plugged into the community, or to join us live on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. We are so excited to see what God is going to do. The best is yet to come.